From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Pop the tops off while I pop beats that knock your blocks off. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. On this episode, we close out my special two-part interview with Derek Vincent Smith of Pretty Lights, easily one of the top electronic performers in the country today. This Colorado-based producer changed the game entirely by giving away his incredibly popular music for free through his website. His trio of EPs from last year has been downloaded more than a million times now, and he continues to headline major festivals and sell out countless shows across the states. On today's episode, we discuss his label, Pretty Lights Music, his new record, some of the bigger festivals he's playing this summer, as well as his relationship with the equally successful Bass Nectar. Today's show is brought to you by Camp Bisco. The Disco Biscuits annual summer festival is celebrating its 10th anniversary in style, July 7th through the 9th at the Indian Lookout Country Club in Mariahville, New York. In addition to Pretty Lights, you can catch sets from the Disco Biscuits, Cut Copy, Ghostland Observatory, Rusko, Nero, Paper Diamond, Wolfgang Gartner, 12th Planet, Too Fresh, and a ton more Unce favorites. Details at campbisco.net. All right, let's get to the interview. Like we talked about, you were really adopted by that jam and festival scene. That's where a lot of your action is this summer. But you do a lot of colleges independently, and you're part of touring shows like Glowfest. Do you feel like you're bringing that whole vibe, this sort of what the possibilities of electronic music are to people who are completely uninitiated, maybe like college kids who are more into the hip hop and other scenes and are actually getting brought into your sound through things like maybe your Kanye West remix, for instance?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the reasons, I mean, the reason I'm playing college shows, especially on my last tour, is because, you know, they hit me up and they're like, we want you to come play our whatever tuition-funded spring college campus party.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're really going to pay me that much. And
sure. Yeah, why not?
But it's cool. I mean, like, the kids at the schools, like, apparently, like, come together and decide that that's what they want to have at their party, and I'm flattered, you know? So, and I definitely realized that, like, a lot of the kids know what's up, and they know my music, and they, like, are actual fans, and they know, like, the body of my work, but a lot of them, you know Finally Moving and all the Lights remix and maybe Hot Lights Off, like, the three tracks that have been, like, most viral, I guess, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
have
the yeah.
most, like, YouTube success, you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
and
sure,
I feel like beyond the free downloads of, like, at this point, like, the YouTube sort of thing is, like, definitely what's reaching out into these sort of demographics or whatever. But yeah, so back to your question, yes, you know, I feel like a lot of kids at these college shows come to hear one song, or because they know one song, and then they end up realizing that, like, oh, shit, like, this is a party, like, I'm having a great time, like, the energy and the vibe at my shows is pretty hype, and I like to keep it that way, and, like
yeah,
people
just,
like, have a good time, you know what I'm saying? So I think that even if people aren't first at, like, really realizing what the deal with the music is, and that stylistically, and, like, you know, it's a new shit, and, like, the productions are, like, something original, I think that they're just realizing, like, they sound of it and having a great time, and, like, hopefully it opens kids' minds up to the genre, and they'll be interested in digging a little deeper.
Thank you.
being the crossover hit for Pretty Lights from 2006's Taking Up Your Precious Time. What can you tell me about Identity Festival? There have been all these whispers and rumors at this point, but ID Fest is bringing enormous electronic-only acts, that's the important part, electronic-only acts, to 20 cities. Cascade, Rusko, Avicii, The Biscuits, DJ Shadow, a boatload of others. And here you are, you're sandwiched at the top of that bill between two top 50 DJs and are riding a line above DJ Shadow and The Biscuits, who were huge influences on you, you know, as you got into the scene. I mean, that's got to be a huge honor.
Yeah, definitely is a huge honor, you know, looking at that lineup and being like, damn, I'm at the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's really, you know, they do that based on, you know, who's currently selling tickets and who they think is going to draw the most, you know what I'm saying? But I'm stoked on Identity Fest. I was a little skeptical or whatever because, like, I was planning on doing, like, a fall tour or whatever through a lot of the cities.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it's something pretty cool. And what really got me to, like, get in on this thing is that they're trying to keep the ticket price low. And it's like...
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
And it's like, if they are going to, like, have 40, whatever, 50 acts people want to see and, like, keep the ticket low to, like, something that might be, you know, equal to, like, a show you see with, like, three good acts, it's like, mm-hmm. That's dope. And I think that that's going to... make these events like exponentially bigger, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the whole, you know, they're trying to make it as cheap as possible from what I know, and like I think that's gonna be something really different. So anyway, I can't say what cities I'm doing, but I'm doing just under half of Identity Fest. So about 9 of the cities I think headlining some of those, and right before Cascade and a few of those. But yeah, man, it should be really cool. It's going to be a party. It's going to be like a new thing. It's like a old school Warped Tour, but with like new electronic artists and the people putting it on, like from what I know, have experience and know what's up. And so it should be smooth and organized and hopefully just like a dope experience for everyone who comes to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a super important thing to me, you know what I mean? Like, I've been to some festivals that are just so unorganized, and like, it ends up just being like a shit experience for the fans. And it's like,
yeah.
Some festivals, they got their shit together, and like, that just, you know, adds so much to like the whole weekend or whatever, you know, the experience.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Insomniac Events has paired up with Madison House and the String Cheese Camp to put on this brand new Electric Forest Festival, kind of rising out of the ashes of Rothbury. And Insomniac's known for throwing just these ridiculous events along the West Coast. You've been a feature at Electric Daisy Carnival, so you probably have a good understanding of just how nuts the lights and production and all of it's going to be. I've been told to buckle my seatbelt that it's going to be pretty out of control.
Yeah, man, I'm a fan of Insomniac. I know they got a bad rap in L.A. for EDC last year, and they're switching it to Las Vegas or whatever. But I'm stoked that they're doing other stuff, and they're sort of like branching out into this market and sort of like fusing it. And yeah, I think that their involvement in Electric Forest is going to be a really good thing, and it'll hopefully step up the production and the, you know, organization. I mean, when I did EDC with those guys, it was super organized, and they've promoted some of my shows elsewhere. They definitely have a good understanding of how to throw a electronic-based party.
Sure. And you're a headliner alongside Tiesto, the number 3 DJ in the world. Does that set the bar high for you? Are you completely oblivious to the goings on at these festivals? All you see is the inside of an RV, and then you're backstage, and then you're out there in front of these people, and then you go back into your little, you know, you're back into the green room.
Fuck that, dude. I'm like, I fucking hang out. I'm like one of the only dudes who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, especially this summer, I asked for a golf cart at every single festival I'm playing because I'm going to be tooling around checking shit out.
Golf cart is a must.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If I ain't got a golf cart, I'm going to be raging all over the place. But no, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, so that's cool, I guess.
Hurry By from the Pretty Lights EP, Spilling Over Every Side.
So I gotta ask this, it seems like every major festival in the US this summer has two names at the top of the bill, Pretty Lights and Bass Nectar. Snowball, Camp Bisco, certainly Electric Forest Festival, you two opened for each other in Richmond, Virginia last year. I imagine since you're both constantly crisscrossing the country and headlining different nights at festivals, you don't see each other very much, but you are the two biggest names in electronic music in the States. Is there any possibility at all of a Pretty Lights Bass Nectar collaboration on the horizon? Just give me some indication.
Whew. Fuck yeah. Are you kidding? Me and Lauren are homies. It's inevitable.
That makes me happy. You know, I mean, you could be all prima donnas about it and know that you're the two biggest cats in the room, but that makes me happy to hear that.
No, it is. You know, before I knew the dude and before he knew me, it was kind of like a little like, so what's up with Bass Nectar, you know, whatever. It was like, but we finally met, you know, what happened is the thing in Richmond and we both somehow, our agents fucked up and didn't communicate, and they got us playing at the same, well, I actually think it was beyond that. I think one of the promoters locally, like, tried to, like, be secretive about it and, like, book me on a night where he knew Bass Nectar was playing because they didn't take his offer, some political bullshit. And it happened. And, I was like, well, this sucks. I don't want to, you know, people on Facebook were, like, complaining. They don't want to choose, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And that's when I, like, you know, I asked my whatever manager to, like, reach out and get Lauren's phone number, and I hollered at him and was like, yo, this kind of sucks, but I think that if we're creative, we can come up with something cool that'll make people stoked and kind of prove that that opposed to a competitive sort of vibe, we're coming at this with like a cooperative sort of vibe. And like,
sure.
He was super amped and like totally awesome dude and was like super stoked that like I reached out and like we, you know, sort of thought it over and came up with that. I kind of switched places and opened for him and he came over to my venue and like opened for me and then we like went back and both shows sold out and it was a total success. And so ever since then, we, you know, had each other's numbers and we ran into each other and kicked it. And like you said, not a lot of time, but,
sure.
And we're going to be at a lot of festivals this summer. And, I hope that, soon that we'll, you know, drop something together.
Something's got to happen, right?
Something's got to happen, right?
We'll be right back.
Still rocking from Pretty Lights, Making Up a Changing Mind EP.
Let's talk Pretty Lights music. First of all, your whole career, like you mentioned, has been about the free download. Your latest trio of EPs, Making Up a Changing Mind, Spilling Over Every Side, and Glowing in the Darkest Night, have been downloaded more than a million times. What purpose, then, does the modern-day label serve? What function does a label serve when you're giving away your artist's music for free? What is your sort of concept of what a label should be right now?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, like, it's different. You know, if I tell you what I think Pretty Lights music should be, is by no means what I think other record labels should be. Sort of like a, you know, different thing, you know, and I'm not here claiming that every label should give their music out for free. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not, like, saying that we're doing this the right way and everyone else should be following it. I'm just, like, I've experienced some advantages and some positive things and some success with this model, and we're sort of, like, experimenting with seeing how far it can go. And that's, you know, that was the beginning of the record label, was sort of, like, an experiment in that. It was like, well, this has worked for me. People are downloading my music. It's working. Some donations are coming in. Now, if I come up and say, hey, this other artist is off the hook, I'm going to put him out, you know, under this record label where I'm all behind it, and see if people actually download it. And that was with Michael Menard's first record, and it worked. You know what I'm saying? Like, within a few weeks, he'd had over 10,000 downloads and was getting offers to play shows from a lot of places in the country. And, you know, weeks before that, dude was working a 9-to-5 and, like, had, you know, was pretty much completely obscure in the world of electronic music. And it was like, whoa, that worked. It's kind of like a new thing, a new way to, like, break artists.
It doesn't hurt to have the Pretty Light seal of approval, does it?
No, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. It's about people trusting that it's going to be fresh. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's sort of like convincing people that if something comes out on my website, it's going to be dope and you're going to be able to rock out to it. And as long as I continue to keep it at that level and curate music and push it out that's fresh, then people are going to continue to come back and download more music. And that's the whole concept that the label is built on, is like keeping it fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever, like, shit's got to be dope or, you know, that people are going to stop downloading the music. And, like, but as far as how a normal record label works, like, advances to the artists, owning the rights of the music,
distribution and giving them a studio, all that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, looking after, hooking them up with managers and agents and making sure, like, their publicity and their web presence and everything like that. You know, like, I'm still trying to get, you know, I'm trying to create a label where the artists are responsible for their own business. You know what I mean? Like, they run their business. So it's like, Pretty Lights Music is a way to, like, distribute the music and, like, put it under a label and, you know, and then what's, I'm, like, definitely assisting with, like, web presence and, like, publicity with some of the artists and, like, social media and stuff like that. And that's where I want to kind of expand and evolve. But then I sort of leave it to everyone to do their own thing. You know what I mean? Like, Paper Diamond is, like, so on top of this shit. It's like,
right,
as far as, like, you know, web shit, website management agency, it's like, so artists on PLM still have to, like, look after themselves. You know what I'm saying? They got to be business savvy and, like, it's like, you know, it's kind of dependent on, like, how far they want to take it, you know?
You're like the Oprah's book club of music. You bring the heat to an artist.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, but then I'm working with some artists right now that aren't released yet, but that I think have a lot of potential, and trying to sort of show them some tricks, you know, help evolve the style, because
groom them, bring them up in the industry.
But yeah, also like mentoring the production and like stuff like that. And so there's definitely like a handful of artists that I'm anxious about putting out in the next year or so. So yeah, it's sort of like it's an experiment. It's evolving. It's, you know, it's very roots. It's like we just got an office in Denver, so we actually have like an official office space here, which makes it feel legitimate. but it's dope. You know what I mean? Like, we're kind of creating a publicity department, being able to like send our own press releases and like do our own publicity, and getting into like our own like video creation and whatnot. And yeah, I think the sky's the limit, man. And we're really looking forward to like growing the operation and working with a network of dope artists and seeing how big we can build it.
Alpha Omega from Michael Menard's Dreaming of a Bigger Life, available for free on Pretty Lights Music.
So finally, you alluded to this earlier. Let's talk about the new record. You're coming at this from a completely different place. This is all new, all fresh for you.
Yeah, I learned a lot last year. My whole intent was doing a trilogy of EPs in the time frame of 1 year while I was touring. Practically the entire time was a challenge to myself. It was like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to announce this and then see if I can pull it off. And I did. And I put myself in, you know, some situations where I was like, definitely like stressed and fucking staying up all night, every night, you know, the 2 weeks prior to like releasing ETAs and like working my ass off. And I'm super proud of those, man. I think that they're dope. But I want to try something different than the new one, man. And, like, so I'm not going to announce a release date because I'm gonna work on it until it's, like, completely satisfied with it. I'm not sampling any vinyl, but I'm doing whatever I can to make it not lose that sound. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose the style that I've developed as an artist. So it's, like, there's a lot going into to making it, to creating the timbres that need to be sold and needs to be in it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
About bringing in a lot of analog equipment into your studio.
Well, that, but also working at other completely full vintage studios, and from the instrument to the mic to the compressor to the mixer to the medium, like tape, to cutting everything to vinyl, to bouncing things in analog, to my synths are now all analog and modular, really diving into the world of like creating all patches from like complete scratch with like modular synths and like.
Do you need a degree for that?
Yeah. You know, I got that degree. Well, I'm trying to earn it right now, but it definitely takes a lot of time. Just like, it's a lot of just like smoking weed and fucking around in the studio for hours and hours until you, like, really grasp it.
Which can't be a bad thing. Not a bad way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah, right. You know, that's why I do what I do, so I can do that. But yeah, you know, in the meantime, I'm still, like, producing other tracks. I can, like, continue to, like, keep the live show fresh. And, you know, also producing with, like, the style and the process that I've sort of developed up until now. But I'm also working on this record that's kind of, like, become my baby, you know what I'm saying? Even with, like, vocal samples, it's, like, traveling and finding street musicians and random people in bars and, like, working with them to, like, create vocals and, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like everything is like going out and like creating it and finding it, but still retaining the warmth and the sound. So it sounds like that shit came from 1987. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're absolutely looking forward to it. Derek Vincent Smith, you're going to have to take a break at some point. Festivals, these records, your label. Hope you don't poop yourself out before I run into you the next time.
You know, I find time to hit the beach once in a while or disappear for a couple weeks. Definitely looking out for that, too. I'm the first one who doesn't want me to get jaded.
Well, neither do your fans. Thank you so much for being on the Yunts podcast.
Yeah, man. Stoked. I love the website. Love what you guys are doing and appreciate the questions you asked as well, man. So thanks.
That concludes the Yunts podcast interview with Derek Vincent Smith of Pretty Lights. Special thanks go to Crystal Blackburn of Pretty Lights Music, Carrie Lombardi with Madison House, and of course my guest, Derek Vincent Smith. You can catch two sets of Pretty Lights at the Hangout Festival in Gulf Shores, Alabama on the 21st and 22nd of May, followed by Lightning in a Bottle Memorial Day weekend in beautiful Silverado, California. Remember, you'll be able to catch Pretty Lights at Camp Bisco 10, July 7th through the 9th in Mariahville, New York, alongside his buddy Bass Nectar, Cut Copy, Rusko, Lotus, Wolfgang Gartner, Skrillex, tons more artists, and of course, the Biscuits. On that same tip, next week's very special guest will be performing alongside Pretty Lights Music recording artist Break Science at this summer's Camp Bisco. RJD2 is one of the biggest producers in all of hip-hop. The accolades have been doled upon this songwriting, beat-making, multi-instrumentalist who's licensed his music for Levi's, Nike, and of course the intro to the multiple Emmy-winning television program Mad Men. His latest concert film, Live at the Rave, was just released on iTunes. I've got so much to talk about with RJ Crone, you're not going to want to miss next week's show. Let's do a quick contest update. We've got a pair of tickets for Borgor in Pittsburgh on June 10th. We've got a month-long pass for June for Wobble Wednesdays at Wonder Bar in Alston, Massachusetts, thanks to the Brain Trust. You can grab a pair of tickets for the Polish Ambassador at the Gramercy Theater Lounge in New York on May 28th. And of course, you can still win festival passes to Camp Barefoot 5, Liberate, and Electric Forest Festival later this summer. All you have to do is visit theunts.com/contests and sign up. Remember to visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Yunts podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's ANAND @theunts.com. We'll catch you next week.